Gracious God, may only your word be spoken and your word be heard. Amen. I am a beach person. My happy place is when I am near big water. I grew up on the Long Island Sound in Connecticut, and I used to live in Portland, Maine. So when I say that I am a beach person, I'm not talking about the aquamarine waters of the Bahamas. I'm talking about New England beaches. I'm talking about the rocky shores of coastal Maine, where the dark green of the pine trees runs right up to the water's edge and meets the slate blues of the North Atlantic. When I need to close my eyes and take deep, calming breaths, like I had to do several times to deal with anxiety and anger produced by the news this past week, those Maine beaches are where I go in my head. I imagine what the waves sound like and what the vastness of the ocean looks like and how the wind coming off the waters feels on my face. For me, there is something profoundly healing about being near big water. People go to the beach for recreation, and I truly feel recreated there. Staring out at the ocean's horizon, hearing the wind that I cannot see in my ears, I feel in touch with an ancient wisdom, which is that the world is very big and I am very small. And rather than finding that truth disquieting, when I am at the beach, I find it profoundly comforting because it reminds me that I am just a part of something that is much, much bigger than myself. The water and the wind seem to speak to me, and they tell me that I have a place and a purpose in the world. And when I leave the beach, I feel ready for a fresh start, ready to begin again. In this morning's scripture readings, we are beginning at the beginning. Our gospel reading is from the very beginning of Mark, which was chronologically the first of the gospels to be written. And our first reading this morning was from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. The lectionary places these two beginnings in conversation with each other because there are important parallels between the story of creation and the story of Christ's baptism. In Genesis 1, God begins all things, and we begin to see how it is that God will relate to those things. And then in Jesus' baptism, Christ begins his ministry, thereby recreating how it is that God will relate to everything. And there are three specific parallels between the two stories: water, spirit, and word. In the creation story, we are told there is a chaotic and formless void, a deepness, a wateriness, and over those waters, a wind from God sweeps. The Hebrew word for wind is ruach, but it can also be translated as breath or as spirit. And so as Trinitarians, Christians read that ruach, that wind as being the presence of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of all creation, just as the wind of the Holy Spirit moves in the story of Pentecost. And then lastly, God speaks words. Let there be light. And we get our very first glimpse into the creative power that words can have. In contrast, the baptism of Christ also occurs in a chaotic and uncertain place, out in the wilderness, on the fringes of the Roman Empire, in the waters of the Jordan River, the same river that the people of Israel crossed in order to enter into the Promised Land. The Spirit is present at Christ's baptism in the form of a dove that descends from heaven. And once again, we hear a voice. We hear words, this time speaking to claim and affirm Jesus. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The gospel writers want us to see a fundamental connection between the story of Christ's baptism and the story of creation. Water, Spirit, Word. They want us to embrace the parallels in God's creation of the universe in Genesis and God's recreation of the world in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in our baptismal rites, as Christians have observed them for 2,000 years, we see those parallels again. Water is poured over our heads 3 times. The sealing with the Holy Spirit marks us as Christ's own forever. And the power of words that claim and affirm. An individual who says, I believe in God, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. A community that says, we receive you into the household of God. Water, Spirit, Word. In the beginning of all things, in the story of creation, in the beginning of Christ's ministry of healing and teaching, and in the beginnings of our own ministries and baptismal identities. All of these stories, all of these actions are about identity. Who is God? God is the one that created all things and declared them fundamentally good. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the beloved Son of God sent to heal and reconcile the world. And who am I? Who are we? Well, that is the big question. Because in these times that we are currently living through, identity questions are swirling all around us. As individuals whose identities are often defined by our relationships, our COVID-19 quarantines are leaving us isolated and unsure about our place in the world. And as a congregation in the midst of transition and unable to safely worship together in person, we are wondering who we are now and where we are going next. And as a nation, we are certainly in the midst of an identity crisis. The events of this past Wednesday, when a violent mob stormed the Capitol building, have left us feeling shaken. But if we're honest with ourselves and with each other, It has taken us a long time to come to this point. 4 years, 20 years, 60 years, 400 years. We live in the tension between a privileged instinct to say, this is not who America is, and centuries of history which tell us that on many levels, this is exactly who America has always been. We are a nation that has never in its history achieved the aspirations that we claim. The inalienable rights have never been equally available to all. And so we are living through a tipping point, a moment that is testing whether or not we have the resolve to appeal to the better angels of our nature, as Abraham Lincoln described. And after the events of this past week, the identity question that stands before us is this: are we or are we not a people who strive daily, daily, toward the creation of a more perfect union? As Americans, that identity question is an open one. But as Christians, we have clarity about the identity that we can claim. Who is God? God is the one who created all things and declared them fundamentally good. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the beloved Son of God sent to heal and reconcile the world. Who am I? Who are we? We are members of the body of Christ, marked by water, spirit, and word, claimed by God and by each other, empowered through our baptisms for ministries of healing and reconciliation in this world. Not a cheap reconciliation, not a surface healing where the skin closes over but the splinter remains underneath, but the kind of healing that comes from naming hard truths, repenting of individual and communal sins, and turning to share the good news of God's grace and love. If that sounds like hard work, trust me, it will be. But in our baptisms, in the promises that we have made, in the identity that we have claimed, we have already been given the power as members of the body of Christ to do that work. The world is very big, and we are very small. But the baptismal waters, they may look like a little bowl tucked into a small font, but they are actually the biggest of the big waters that we can stand before, of the big waters that can heal us, that can recreate us, that can remind us that we have a purpose and a place in this world, and that we are a part of something much, much bigger and much more powerful than ourselves alone. So I invite you to join me now in reaffirming your baptismal promises in the words of the baptismal covenant.